acorns jumping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, furry as a mouse. It's a suey nature, a suey nature thing. It's a suey nature, a suey nature thing. It's a mighty fine,
mighty fine,
a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine,
mighty fine,
a mighty fine nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 144, Sheep to Poncho. Sunday, November 20th, 2016. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. The Yarns at Yin Hu podcast has a Facebook page, and it's available on iTunes. Each week, I put photographs, show notes, and links to the things I talk about on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. And my website has a new look, so check it out when you get a chance. Welcome to Perry J, who is Perry from Melbourne, Australia. Thanks for saying hello on the welcome thread, and happy spinning and knitting. Prize winners! I have a few prizes to announce on the episode today. The first prize is a package that I've put together of some hand-spun, hand-dyed yarn left over from my Sheep to Shawl project, as well as a bento bag I've sewn from rust-dyed fabric, and I will also include some combed top from Spinners and Farm in Michigan. And this has been donated by Sherry of Spinners and Farm, who was incredibly generous with my CSA allotment when I purchased it a while back and sent way more than was required or expected in that box. So the lucky winner will also have some fiber to spin, to blend, maybe to work on a few dyeing experiments. And that lucky winner is for post number 38, Kim Schroeder, 1203. So Kim, please get in contact with me with your mailing information and I will get that prize out to you. Several episodes ago, I also mentioned that I would like to give away a copy of Bovine Social Club's CD. And so I'm giving away one copy of the CD as well as three download stickers. This will come to you by mail, and then you can use the code on the back for a free digital download. So the CD winner is Tesoro Stitchery, and the digital download sticker winners are the Jasper Patch, Laura Knits PA, and Amos GW. So please get in contact with me and give me your mailing information, and I will get those things out to you. Thank you to everyone who made some very insightful and helpful comments regarding men and the fiber arts. I read each one aloud to Samuel. He's very grateful for your comments as well as your compliments of Bovine Social Club. And he has not yet made a move, but is still considering involvement in the fiber arts. And maybe over time, with time and gentle persuasion, I can have some influence over him. He also has a show coming up, and if you're in the Delaware Water Gap area, you may be interested in Jingle Jingle, which is a kind of a variety show that Bovine Social Club hosts each year at the Deerhead. The Deerhead is our local jazz hotspot. It has a long history of jazz and jazz performers in this community. And sometimes on a Sunday, they will relax their usual stringent standards in terms of jazz music and make space for something a little more experimental. So Bovine Social Club asks a number of other performers to play music, to read in celebration of the holidays. It's a big fundraiser for local causes, and it's a great, great deal of fun. The event will take place on December 4th, and I will provide a link to ticket sales in the show notes for this episode in case you're interested. On the Back Porch is a project that has been 2 years in the making, and that is the finished project for my Sheep to Shawl class. This is the second year that I've taken this year-long class. We meet 10 times throughout the year, once a month for 10 months, and the objective is to take fleece from its raw, unprocessed state into a garment or accessory of your own design. We work with beautiful Jacob fleece from Jenny Jump Farm, which is not very far from me in New Jersey. And we learn how to scour it, to card it, to spin it. We do a variety of different kinds of dyeing. And then we knit or crochet a project of our own design. Last year, I completed my project, but then realized that I was not happy with it. I wasn't wearing it. And so I ripped the entire project out. I washed and reskeined the yarn, and I have added yarn to it because this year I was able to achieve a few colors that I didn't in the year prior. So I wanted to include that. And I wanted to improve the shape of the poncho that I was creating. And I kept in mind that I wanted this to be a poncho. I wanted this to be something that used a lot of yarn so I could put a lot of that learning, that knowledge into the project. And I just wanted it to have a little more shape and integrity to it than my previous project. And I feel that I was able to achieve that, and I feel quite happy with the final result this time around. The project is a poncho with a soft, drapey cowl neckline. It is mostly knit in stockinette, but it has one by one rib down each side, starting at the shoulder and extending all the way to the bottom edge. It's quite a long poncho with pretty full coverage. It dips down below my waist in the back, and it ends with a bit of 2x2 rib as well as tubular cast on and bind off, of course, because those are my absolute favorite. And then based on the suggestion of my classmate Kathy, I have woven a cord down each side. I've attached a ceramic button, and that cord and the button allow me to pull up the poncho a little bit on the sides and then anchor it so that I have a little bit more movement for my hands and arms, but I can still get that full, warm, cozy coverage if I want it. And I've also thought about maybe experimenting with some Jewel, J-U-L, has some different kinds of screw-in attachments with leather that allow you to create shape and drama with a relatively plain piece of knitted fabric. So I may order some of those and try them out. In addition to the unflattering shape of the first version of this poncho, I was also unhappy with the very stark changes between colors. When you knit stockinette in the round, there's just like a very hard break when you change color, and I really wanted to soften that a bit. Initially, I thought I would dip the whole thing in walnut, but I also took the technique of alternating colors every round of the knitting. So after the the cowl neck, and then the shaping and the increases that I did for the shoulders, that's all with indigo dyed yarn. After that, I alternated my color every round. And this creates a little bit of striping, but in some places it also creates some really interesting color blending. So I'm just looking at a photograph of the finished project now, and I was able to include dyes made with the following plant materials: indigo, marigold, avocado, annatto, pokeberry, cochineal, walnut, weld and indigo, pokeberry and indigo, pokeberry, indigo, and walnut, as well as some undyed yarn, because the Jacob sheep gives just some beautiful natural color variations. And some of the yarn that I dyed was either blended or gray or a very light brown. So there's some different heathering that is also incorporated into the project. I am still considering a dip in walnut, but I haven't done it yet. I have a couple of other things I would like to put in walnut dye, and I think I will wait to make a dye bath until I have everything assembled and ready. I would also like to test dye something before I drop that entire poncho in. And I'm working on some mitts with some of the colors that I didn't use in the poncho. And I think that would be a good test case to try dipping those mitts in before I dye the entire poncho. So that's still maybe a few steps left to working on this poncho, but right now I am pretty satisfied with the result. A fleece-wise update. In the previous episode, I talked in detail about my plans to use the beautiful Shetland fleece from Eloise, and I mentioned that I would be spinning my singles on a Scottish spindle called a jallaghan. Many folks expressed a lot of interest in that jallaghan. It's made by Scott of Snyder Spindles. It's made of maple. It's 1.8 ounces. These are all things that I failed to mention in the previous episode. And I don't think he has any currently available in his shop, but I think he might be compelled to make some. If you are interested, please message him on his Etsy shop and let him know that you heard about this spindle on the Yarns at Yinhu podcast, because he sold me his spindle, he gave me the demo, and I'm sure he would be interested to know how far his influence has spread with interest in this Scottish spindle. It's just a really interesting little tool, and so many people who have seen me use it are just really fascinated that this conical spindle works so effectively. I posted a few photographs of my spindle and my spinning on Instagram, and a few folks made the request that I would put a video up. I'm not very good at it, but there is a short video of me using the spindle. And I wanted to show in particular how the spindle also functions as a nostipin. So it starts with me winding on singles and then threading those singles through the cross-shaped notch in the bottom of the spindle, wrapping the yarn, the singles, several times around the shaft, and then creating a half hitch. And a little of that is obscured with the way Instagram cuts off some of the edges of the video. And then you get to see me flick it, and you flick it from the top of the spindle. I am very used to flicking spindles from the bottom, so that took some adjustment. I do a wrap around of the singles several times on the shaft in order to keep the spindle straight while it's spinning. It tends to be a little wobbly because it doesn't have a whorl. And so I feel that wrapping the single several times around the shaft before the half hitch helps to eliminate some of that wobble. Something else that I wanted to mention in terms of being fleece wise and spinning from a raw fleece is to be mindful of the amount of waste you're likely to have. Or another way to think about that is the difference between the weight of the fleece you buy and the weight of the yarn that you're able to produce. Based on careful weight measurements of my sample of Eloise, I am losing 22.9% of the weight between the unwashed, unprocessed fleece and my finished yarn. And so that waste is coming out. That's just the weight of the lanolin that washed away and the dirt that washed away, and also the weight of vetch matter, little pieces of hay and grass leaves that might be in the fleece. They're coming out as I card the fleece, especially, and I am picking out a little bit as I spin. And finally, the amount of waste of any second cuts or nubs of fleece that don't end up in the spinning that I'm picking off because they're short and inconsistent as I'm doing the spinning. 22.9% waste according to my measurements. And I was using as my sample some of the dirtiest fleece that I had, which this is by no means a dirty fleece. It was a beautifully clean, well-skirted fleece. But the part that I pulled aside for my sample did have more dirt and vegetable matter in it than the rest of the fleece. So that figure could be just a little bit high. I'll have to weigh my complete finished yarn against the weight of the fleece that I started with to find out what that overall percentage is. As I'm recording this morning, I'm looking out the window and watching the finest of snowflakes fly past. It's a very fine, powdery snow that's floating on the wind. And it puts me in mind of the fact that the holidays are fast approaching. And I have the goal of completing gift knitting by the end of November so that I can focus on a different kind of gift knitting in December, working on some things that have been given to me, kind of like a gift I give to myself with my crafting around the holidays. And so I have made excellent progress on the Tungata cowl designed by Stephen West that I'm knitting for Samuel. I have completed the front side of this cowl that has the more difficult stranded knitting and corrugated rib. And now I'm working on the backside or the inside of the cowl that is simply knitting in the round in stripes. But I did have a setback. Knitting on the US size 4 needle, I just found that the stockinette in the round was too loose. It wasn't going to match up with the knitting on the other side of this cowl. So I had a couple inches done, but I ripped it all back and put the project on a US size 3 needle to complete the stripes in the round. And now I have surpassed the point I was when I ripped out, so it feels like progress. I am also working on knitting some magic cork shrooms that I plan to give as gifts. This is a darling little pattern of a mushroom cap that sits atop a wine cork. And I found some really, really tiny screws to go in the tops of the corks so that I can anchor a little loop and this magic cork shroom can be a hanging tree ornament. Of course, if the recipient just wants to put it on a shelf, they can just snip that off without a problem and set this little knitted mushroom on a shelf or a curio display case or something like that. But I just picture them hanging on Christmas trees, and I think that would be really darling. I would also like to crochet an owl hat for my sister Laura. She requested it because she lost hers I haven't done crochet in a while and I've just been dragging my feet on that project, but I think that it will crochet up very, very quickly. I plan to use Noro yarn because from how she describes her hat, I think that's what I used for the original. I don't have any record of ever having crocheted this hat, so the research has involved a lot of speculation on this pattern, and apparently this was a well-loved hat. So I do want to do my best to recreate it if I can. And I know that she plans to use it this winter. Once again, the three projects I'm working on are the Tungata cowl designed by Stephen West. That is a double thick cowl in three colors. Magic Cork Shrooms by Julie Tarsha. And the Owl Hat, a crochet pattern by Deborah Dandenau. Gratitude Journal. Thank you so much to everyone who has reached out with supportive comments and conversations after my last episode. Your kind words and your sense of community really do feel very supportive to me and keep me buoyant. So I'm very grateful. Thank you so much. And so forth. Last week, I stated that I would be using Sunday afternoon to make some progress on some sewn Christmas gifts. These DOP kits, I want to make 5 of them as gifts for some of the people on my list, but I didn't do that. I took advantage of the fact that Samuel had a rehearsal with Bovine Social Club to work on a project that I've had in mind for him as a holiday gift all summer long. I made him a pair of flannel pajama pants, and using the walking foot on my machine made the sewing so much easier than the sewing for my own pajama pants that I made earlier in the spring. It just handles the thickness of the fabric with such ease. And it turned out that these pajama pants were just much easier to make. They sewed up very quickly. And I love the fabric that I ordered for them. It is this beautiful flannel with a light gray background and these wonderful printed vintage thermoses on them. And the thermoses are all in red, white, gray, and black. So it's kind of a muted palette, but really fun and festive for winter. And I really think he's going to love these. When I made my own pajama pants, I found it really difficult to turn up the hem and sew through 3 thicknesses of fabric. So I use bias tape to create the hem on my pajama pants. And even though I think this walking foot could have handled that easily, I like the way my hem turned out so well that I decided to use the same technique on these pajama pants. I use cotton twill tape for the drawstring of pajama pants. It's just really nice and sturdy, and it slides through that waistband very easily. And then on either side of the front seam, before I turn down the waistband and attach it, I make a buttonhole for that drawstring to pass through. So I just used the buttonhole attachment on my sewing machine, and I used a button on that attachment that was about the size of the space I wanted to create for the drawstring. And this makes just such a nice, sturdy place for the drawstring to enter on either side of that center seam. On the pair that I made, I mistakenly put my buttonholes on the back of the pants. So then I had to add 2 more on the front. No one knows but me. It's fine. But on Samuel's pair, I managed to correctly identify the front of the pants before I put those buttonholes in. The pattern I use for pajama pants is called Pajama Pants for Everyone, and it's from Weekend Sewing, a book by Heather Ross. The pattern pages on the back do have sizes for everyone from, I think, toddler through adult sizes. And you do have to create your own pattern because there are huge fold-out sheets in the back of the book with overlapping patterns. So you need to use pattern paper or butcher paper to cut out a pattern for the size you want. Making pajama pants is a great beginner project. It's a great way to use really fun fabric. And the sizing is very loose and forgiving, so you don't have to worry too much about fit. So I highly recommend that as a beginner project. This week is Thanksgiving week here in the U.S., so I wish everyone a very happy Thanksgiving, good times with friends and family, and hopefully there's some delicious food in your future. I will be taking a digital detox for the week. This is a practice that I first heard about through Joanna Spring of the Knit Spin Farm podcast. She has a practice of doing digital detox for the week of Thanksgiving, and I think it's worthy of imitation and something I am sorely in need of this year. So after I finish all of the processes I go through to get this podcast online, I will be saying goodbye to social media for a week, and I will be trying to eliminate screen time as much as possible, except where it's necessary for a few days of work this week. And I will really relish this time to refocus my energy and attention on other things that are very important to me. And I encourage you to do the same, even if it's just for a few hours on an afternoon, to take a break from screens and media and to focus your energy and return feeling refreshed and renewed. So I wish you all a very pleasant week, and I will rejoin you on Sunday after Thanksgiving with episode 145. Two ducks in my spyglass, furry as a mouse, it's a sweet nature thing. It's a sweet nature thing. It's a mighty fine, mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine, mighty fine nature thing. Leaves lay down like a lady, waiting for a naked man. River bends like an elbow, turning stones to sand. It's a sweet nature, sweet nature thing. It's a sweet nature thing. It's a mighty fine, mighty fine, a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine, a mighty fine nature thing. For listening. Music for this episode is So Wheat, song and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Bovine Social Club. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week. It's a sweet nature, a sweet nature thing. It's a mighty fine, it's a mighty fine, a mighty fine nature thing. Two stumps out.
chipmunk all along. Six turkeys up in munching like fat dogs. It's a sweet nature, a sweet nature thing. It's a sweet nature, a sweet nature thing. It's a smile. Jump in a river naked and hike a country mile. It's a sweet nature, a sweet nature thing. It's a sweet nature, a sweet nature thing. It's a mighty fine, a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine, a mighty fine nature thing.